But, he continued, I say unto you that Elias is come already, referring now to John the Baptist, who came in the power and spirit of Elijah, as he said specifically in another place, and they knew him not, and have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Well, they put him to death, and he had been beheaded, his head chopped off. They didn't recognize him. Now, it's speaking about a second, just as the second coming of Christ, the second coming of a messenger to prepare the way before him. As John the Baptist was the physical messenger in the physical wilderness of Jordan, so there would be a messenger with a message, with a voice crying out in the spiritual wilderness of the modern 20th century and the last half of the 20th century, preparing the way for the great spiritual Jesus to come to his spiritual temple. And you were that temple, a spiritual temple. You will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, after the dead in Christ rise first and rise with them to meet Christ in the air as he comes. He's coming to his spiritual temple, and we are that temple, as you read in the last few verses of the second chapter of Ephesians. To a spiritual temple, and this time to set up the kingdom of God and to rule. So he said, Elijah truly shall come. But he said, and restore things. Now, John the Baptist didn't restore anything. They already knew about the law. He called them to repentance, but he didn't have to give them sermons about what the law is. They knew that. He just called them to repent and turn to another way and baptize them. He was John the Baptist. But this is speaking of one, Jesus said, after John the Baptist had completed his mission, Elijah truly shall come and restore all things. Now, next, he's coming to prepare the way before Christ. I want you to notice Christ is coming to restore all things. So in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, this is a day or two after the church had started, Peter and John were in the temple. Peter had healed that cripple, and the crowd came around, and Peter preached to them for some little time. And this is Peter talking to them at that time. Verse 19, the third chapter of Acts. Peter said, repent you therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send, the time when he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive. Now he had ascended up to heaven, and the heavens would receive him until a certain time, until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken to the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Now, restitution. Look that word up in the dictionary. Restitution means restoring to a former condition, a former state or condition. Restoring what had been taken away. Restoring what had been taken away. So now I ask you, what is Christ coming to restore that had been taken away? What had been taken away was the government of God. The government of God. And if you know the whole Bible, that's the whole story of the Bible. That's the whole purpose, everything. You read back in Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, and I've gone over it so many times, I'm not going to turn back to it now. But you read there first about the king of Babylon, and then he is a type of the one whom he served and who really ruled over him, who was Satan the devil. And then the type lifts up to the one that he represented, Satan the devil. And It spoke to him then, beginning with verse 12 in Isaiah 14, calling him Lucifer. Lucifer was the name of a super archangel, a cherub. And this cherub's wings had spread out over the very throne of God. But he was on a throne, and it was on earth. And he said, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars or the angels of God. Now he had a throne. And he said he would rise above the clouds. So he was under the clouds. He was on earth. And there was a throne on the earth. Now in Ezekiel 28, also beginning verse 12, verse 1, or in the earlier part of the chapter, it began speaking of the Prince of Tyre. Now as Babylon was the political capital of the ancient world at that time, and the capital of the first great world empire, Tyre was also the commercial capital, and where all the ships went by that were transferring freight and merchandise and that sort of thing. It was the New York, you might say, or the London of the ancient world, not the political capital, but the merchandising capital. There it speaks first of the Prince of Tyre, who was the human ruler. Then the type, the same way, lifts up to the one that represented the Satan, the devil. And he's called the King of Tyre. And there it says that he sealed up the sum total of wisdom, perfection, and beauty. That he had been created, and he was perfect from the day he was created until iniquity was found in him. And he was made so beautiful that he became jealous and full of envy and also full of vanity. And vanity means he exalted himself above everything, above God, above everything. It means he wanted to be served and not to serve. He wanted everything to come to him. He wanted to receive. He wanted to get. He wanted to take. God is the great giver, just the opposite. Now, prior to this, God had had a law. But this Lucifer ruled on this earth. He was put on the earth, and the throne of the earth. He ruled over the whole earth, and the earth at that time was occupied by angels. You find something of them in the 38th chapter of Job. At the time of Christ created the earth, and the angels were there shouting for joy because they were going to inhabit this earth at the time of its creation. But in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, you read of the angels that sinned, and in the next verse you read of the sins between Moses and the time of the flood. After that, you read of a time later, the great destruction that came to Sodom and Gomorrah. So there's a time sequence there, and it shows the sin of the angels was prior to the creation of the first man, Adam. Now, as a result of the angels being turned against God, the earth came to a state of decay. But I need to explain a little something here about the government of God. You read John, the first chapter in the New Testament. John 1 and verses 1 to 4 or 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now who is the Word? Verse 14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and became Jesus Christ. The Word is the one who was made Jesus Christ. In other words, the Word was Jesus Christ before his human birth and before he became Jesus Christ. And he was also God. And in the third chapter and the ninth verse of Ephesians, I believe it is, God created all things by Jesus Christ. Jesus obeyed his Father. Now they were together. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him, the Word. But God made it by Him, and Jesus did only what His Father said. He was the Word, the spokesman. He said, I've spoken only what my Father commanded and told me to speak. And so He is the one who created man. Now we turn back to Genesis, the first. Well, first I want to explain about the government of God. Two can't walk together except they be agreed. So they were in absolute harmony, and everywhere in the Bible it shows that Jesus and God the Father were completely as one, of one mind, of one belief, of one agreement. No discord, no disagreement of any kind whatsoever. Also, two cannot walk together except one is the leader. You must have leadership. And we had a sermonette on that. You must have leadership. And God was the leader. And Jesus obeyed His Father. He said, I have kept my Father's commandments. And He also said, He set us an example. We should also keep them. Now, law is merely a way of life. Their way of life was love, cooperation, mutual love and affection. God ruled over Jesus, but it was loving authority. Loving authority. And Jesus obeyed in love. And they loved one another. And there was no conflict whatsoever. It was total cooperation. But God was the head. And you'll find where Christ is the head of the church, but God is the head of Christ. And we must never forget that. So, that is the basis of government. Now, a law has to be the basis of any government. You can't have government without a law. The basis of the United States is the Constitution, which is a law, and all laws must be according to that basic law, the Constitution. That's the foundational law of all of the United States government. But the basic law of the whole universe is love, L-O-V-E, which is outgoing concern. Outgoing concern toward others, first toward God and then toward our fellow creatures. Now, God and the Word worked. They lived. It said in them was life. If they had life, they lived. If they lived, how did they live? They had to do something to live. What did they do? They created. Now they had a way of creation. How did they create? Well, God created all things by Jesus Christ. God told Him what to do and what to say. He spoke. The Holy Spirit responded, and it was done. Now God said in Genesis, the first chapter, it says there in the beginning, Elohim, which is a plural word meaning gods, created the heavens and the earth. Now, the word God should be pluralized, or gods, and the word created the heaven, as it is in the King James, also is translated in every other translation that, as far as I know, heavens is plural, and the earth. And they were all created at the same time. You read in the second chapter of Genesis also. And in verse 26 of Genesis 1, God said, and this must have been God saying it to the Word, let us make man in our image. And so God told the Word to do it, and the Word formed man. And in the second chapter, Yahweh is mentioned and always speaks of the Word who became Christ, formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man, dust of the ground, became a soul, a living soul, not an immortal soul. So the dust of the ground became a living soul. And God said, if you disobey, you will surely die. Now, the two trees were merely a test of character. The tree of life simply meant obeying God, letting God reveal knowledge to you, letting God reveal His law. The law is merely the way of living. And if Adam had taken the tree of life, God would have revealed His way of living, His law, to Adam. Now, I have never put it quite that way before. Get that firmly in your mind. But what He did, He took to Himself the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, He took to Himself the way of life. He made His own law of how He would live. But He was influenced by Satan and Satan's way. Well, what did Satan say to Eve when she came? He didn't say, worship me. He didn't say, disobey God even. He said, just go do your own thing. Do your own way. Use your own head. Use your own mind. Do what you think is right. And that is the way that Adam took as the law of his life. The way that seemed right to him. Now, God's Word, the Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, it is the law of God that tells us which is the right way. That was in the tree of life, which Adam rejected. Now, God's purpose was to reproduce Himself. To reproduce Himself. But God is, first of all, perfect, spiritual, righteous character. And man could not be made God until the very character of God had been implanted within him. And it wouldn't be character unless the man himself made the choice to receive it. And unless it came with a man's not only consent, but by his own will even. And yet it had to come from God, and God would give it to him, but a man had to make the decision and want it. And that same thing faces all of us today. You see, all of us have found that the tree of life has been opened to us. Now, Adam rejected the tree of life and took the tree of the knowledge, self-knowledge, of what is right and wrong. In other words, of law or the way of life. And then God closed up the tree of life until Christ the second Adam should come. Now, that meant the Holy Spirit, because human eyes have not seen, human ears have never heard what God has in store for us that love Him. That is in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and verse 9. And verse 10 says, but God reveals to us what He has, spiritual things ahead for us, by His Spirit that dwells in us. Now, the Spirit doesn't do the revealing. God reveals it, but He reveals by His Spirit that is in us. Not by His Spirit that He has, that He sends to reveal. The Spirit is already in us. His Word says it. Here's the Word. I read it, and the Spirit lets me understand it. You know, the world can't understand this book, the Bible. It's just a lot of foolishness to them. They don't understand it at all. They don't regard it as the most important book ever written. I was talking to some lawyers yesterday, the three lawyers in the room. I mentioned something about the Bible. One of them said, well, he respected the Bible. I said, the Bible is a book of law. It talks about law from the beginning to the end. Beginning the second chapter of the first book in the Bible, Genesis, it talks about God's law and obedience. And clear up to the last chapter in Revelation is talking about law, a way of life. Law regulates conduct. It regulates human performance, or angelic performance, if you please, or whatever. Now, Adam made a decision for all of his family that were born from him. Even Eve came out of Adam. And all of us have come then from Adam. And he made that decision for all of his family, and the Spirit of God the revelation of spiritual knowledge and of God's spiritual law was hidden from people until they couldn't understand it. Now, it takes love to fulfill that law, but human love won't fulfill it. It takes the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 5 and verse 5. And you can't really fulfill God's law, even if you know what it is, until you have received the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God in you will fulfill it. And very few have that. But that has been opened through Christ to the church. Now then, Adam chose his own self way. The Holy Spirit was closed until Christ came. Jesus came, and he said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church. He's called the second Adam. Now, he came, and he already had the Holy Spirit. He had what Adam, the first Adam, rejected. Now, he called disciples, and he opened to them the tree of life, which had been closed ever since Adam. And he called the 12, and he called them out from the world, which had only a human kind of love and didn't have divine love, the Spirit of God, to live separately from the world and live according to God's law, according to God's government. And God's law is the foundation of God's government, and it's a matter of government. Jesus started the church. Now, I've already quoted to you from Mark 1 and Mark 14 and verses 14 and 15, which simply shows that God put government in the church. Jesus came to restore the government of God. In Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, you read that he was to be born as a child and the government would be on his shoulder. He's going to take over the government and sit on the throne where Satan is now sitting, and the rule over the whole world. Well, when he came, he called a small nucleus, the small embryo, to begin a church. Starting, as he explained, small as a grain of mustard seed, but to grow till it fills the whole earth ultimately. Ultimately, the whole earth is going to be filled with the people of God. Did you know that? Now it's almost filled with the people of Satan. But it is for the elect's sake that this world is going to be spared. Now in Revelation 2, 26 and 27, and Revelation 3, 21, you read that if we that are called into the church to whom the tree of life is opened, and we have accepted the tree of life in the Spirit of God, if we overcome, and we grow in grace and knowledge, and we overcome and endure, we shall be given, we'll rule with Christ on his throne when he comes to take that throne of the earth away from Satan. We will be given power over the nations, and we shall rule them with a rod of iron. And it is only the called who can come. All through the New Testament you read, Jesus called his disciples. It is those that are called, and they're called out of this world. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, when they had wanted to know what to do, he said, repent and be baptized into Jesus Christ, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit, for the promise of the Spirit of God is to you, your children, as many as the Lord our God shall call. God has to call us. Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draws him. God chooses the one he's going to call. Judgment is on us now. When Christ comes, he's coming to judgment. Then judgment will be on all that are still living on earth. Judgment now is only on those that are called in the church. And we need to understand that. But we're being called to become teachers. and we're going to rule, and we're going to judge. Now, I explained about the government of the United States a while ago. God is the lawgiver, but Jesus is in the office of president or the executive. But Jesus also is given the judgeship. And even in the United States government, the president appoints the Supreme Court justices. So there's quite a similarity there. But it is only the called that can receive the Spirit of God now. That's just a question of when. And we are the first fruits. The rest of the world will be called later. In Ephesians 1, verses 9 to 12, you learn we're the first fruits. Also, it's explained, and predestination is explained in Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, the gospel was suppressed, and as I say, they turned to a gospel about Christ, but they have not talked of his message. And his message talked about God as being the supreme ruler, and his message had to do with the government of God, and God is the lawgiver. And when you sin, sin is the transgression of the law, and that has cut you off from God the Father. But what are the Protestant preachers preaching? Just receive Jesus Christ and you're already born again. Poppycock! They are wrong! They are in error! That is the teaching that Satan the devil has given them. That alone is not enough. That's a start, but it's not enough. It takes far more. The world has lost the purpose of God. They have lost all knowledge of the gospel of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. They have lost all of these things. Now then, coming back to what I was saying in the beginning, I was showing the church is persecuted, Revelation 12, verses 5 and 6, and so on. And they've had a false gospel. Elijah was to come and restore things. Jesus is going to come and restore the government, and through the government, everything. But what was Elijah to restore? And brethren, has it happened yet? Has it been restored? And what was restored? The world had lost the gospel. They didn't know what the gospel was. I came among the true church of God of the Sardis era. They didn't know what the gospel was. They thought it was what they called a third angel's message. They didn't know what the gospel really was. They called it a third angel's message. God revealed it to me and through me to the church. That the gospel is the kingdom of God. That is the gospel Jesus preached. That's the gospel Paul preached to the Gentiles. That's the gospel that Peter and John preached. And you find when Jesus sent them out and sent out a 70, he said, preach the kingdom of God. That is the only gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world has a gospel about Christ. Now, the first thing to be restored to the church is the true gospel. The second thing to be restored is the purpose of God. And the gospel has to do with that. That God is reproducing us and that man can become God. No other church on earth believes that, brethren. And now let me tell you, I'm going to reveal to you now things that have been restored in this church. And let me tell you, these are all things that some of those who have been ministers in this church in high office have gone out and now are saying, and saying publicly, that we are departing from the faith and that we are going farther and farther into error. Because they will not receive the truths that God has been restoring into the church. God's purpose is that he's reproducing himself and that we ultimately become God. Now, another thing that has been restored is through the holy days, God's plan, his master plan for accomplishing that purpose. And the annual holy days, and no other church has had those holy days and understands them. All right, what's the next thing restored? I don't think these are in any special order, but the next one I have listed anyway. If I can even read my own writing. Well, the true church has kept the commandments of God and the true name. And the Sardis era did have that. And many of them had tithing. But they didn't all even believe in tithing, but I think you say the church did. And God's true church has believed those three things through most of the time. But many of these other things had to be restored to the church which had been lost. That the end time was coming after World War I, Malachi 3, 1-5, well, I just read that to you. But to go on with the things that have been restored. See, the gospel, and the true gospel was first preached to the world precisely 100 time cycles after it was lost in 53 A.D. It went out to the world on Radio Luxembourg in Europe. For the first time, it had gone coast to coast to the United States and Canada, and then it went to all of Europe 1,900 years after Paul wrote in Galatians 1 that they turned to another gospel. A century of time cycles. The government of God has been restored to the church. And the government of God has been placed in the church. You read that in Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12. Christ is the head of the church, and under Christ in the administration of the government are an apostle or apostles, then evangelists, then pastors, then all are called elders, all ministers, all the way up and clear down to the lowest. So then there are teachers and elders, both speaking elders and preaching elders, deacons and deaconesses. And the church is restored in that form of government. Sardis Church even didn't have the right form of government. The purpose of God, that we can be born into the kingdom of God and the family of God and become God. That knowledge has been restored to the church. Who and what God is. No religion on earth knows who and what God is. No religion on earth. Billy Graham doesn't know it. Jerry Falwell doesn't know it. Roman Catholics don't know. God is not a Trinity. God is not a single person. God is a family of persons. And the family began with God and the Word. And you read of that in John 1, verses 1 to 5. You read of it in Genesis 1, beginning with verse 1. You should learn about God first, and it begins first, both in the New Testament and the Old, because many experts feel that is the so-called experts, let me add, that the book of John should be placed first in the New Testament, although it was not written first. That God is a family, and it began with the two, and we can be born into that family. Now, the next thing that's restored to the church, what and why man is. What is man? Why do we come to be on earth? The Sardis Church didn't know. They didn't know in the Middle Ages. Man was made from the dust of the ground. Man was made with one spirit, and he needs another spirit, the Spirit of God, which unites him with God and is the impregnation of God life in him, and he will be born of God. Next, the human spirit in man. No other church knows about that. That has been revealed to the church. That is knowledge that has been restored to the church of God. And this church has that knowledge. Another, the next piece of knowledge that has been restored to this church that the rest don't know, and no other church knows it, that this church is the first fruits. That God is not trying to save the whole world now. He's calling us out now, and He'll use us as teachers to help save the others in their turn, and they, in turn, from the millennium, will help save all the rest in the great white throne judgment. And ultimately, God's going to go after the saving of everybody who ever lived. But no church understands that. That we are the first fruits. We are the embryo of the kingdom of God. The fact that we are have to be called by God, and that salvation is not open to just anyone, whosoever will. The whosoever will may come as found in the last chapter of the Bible and does not pertain to this time at all. And no other church seems to know that. That knowledge has been restored to this church. The knowledge of the millennium and what it is. Now, the Sardis people knew that Christ would rule 1,000 years. They knew there would be a millennium. They had no idea in the world about what would happen in the millennium. They had no idea what is the purpose of the millennium. We know when we assemble for the Feast of Tabernacles, that's what we're celebrating. And we know what's going to happen in the millennium, and that salvation will be open then to all that are still alive. But it is not open to all now. No other church knows that. These are things that you, brethren, are privileged to know. You, God has blessed you with this knowledge, has restored this knowledge to you. Now, truth regarding the Holy Spirit and the fact that we are begotten now. You're not born yet, only begotten. That we will become born at the time of the second coming of Christ, when this mortal puts on immortality, when we won't be human any longer, we'll be divine. The knowledge that he that is born of the flesh is flesh, mortal, and that's what we are. That is, when you're born of the Spirit, you will be spirit. Someone please go tell Jerry Falwell that so he'll know he's not yet born again. Another thing restored to us is our own roots, our identity, who we are. We are the tribe of Manasseh, of the lost 10 tribes of Israel, and no other church on earth knows it. That knowledge has been restored into this church. And God restored that to me 53 years ago. Our identity. And that opens all the doors of one-third of the whole Bible prophecy you can't understand without that knowledge. That opened up a whole third of the Bible, which is prophecy. That's a third of the Bible. And so a third of the Bible and the understanding of prophecy has been opened to this church. That has been restored to this church. Has God sent someone to restore knowledge to this church, brethren? I'm not tooting any horns. I'm just telling you what has actually happened. And you know it's happened. The fact of the annual festivals, that they represent God's plan. The second and third tithe, what other church knows about that? That was restored by this church. That knowledge restored by this church. Then, the great deception, the counterfeit of Revelation 17:5, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, her daughter churches, and who they are. And the fact that Satan the devil has deceived the whole world. Brethren, Satan is the one who is guilty. Those people in the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches have been deceived. And I think they really believe. God just hasn't opened any more truth to them. We don't sit in judgment of them. We're not judging them yet. We're going to do it. And when we judge them, then all truth will be opened, and God will take away the blindness in their eyes so they can understand if they're willing. Today, they couldn't understand it even if they're willing. I don't think they're willing either, as far as that goes. And how in Revelation 18:4 that God has called us out from among them to be separate. Well, brethren, all those things have been restored. And there is a mission for this church that never applied and has never been done by any other church. This gospel of the kingdom has been restored and shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Has that been done? Has that been restored? Is that gospel going out to the world? You listen on television tomorrow, or do you have something more important to do? You might think about that. Maybe the telecasts of the truth of God are not important. Maybe you have something more important to do. And maybe when you do something else, you better think, was it more important, or should I have been listening to the program? I'm afraid a lot of you don't listen. Well, I hope it's not a lot of it either. Maybe it's only a few. But I know that some are bound to be a little bit careless. But thanks and praise to God, He has restored knowledge. That is all God's doing. None of us can be anything more than human instruments. If I have been willing to do anything, it is only because God Himself brought about circumstances to compel me and make me willing, whether I wanted to be or not, and even then I can take no credit whatsoever. It was all the doing of God through Jesus Christ. But remember this, the Protestant churches, they just have Christ. We have to come to God by way of Christ. And Jesus taught us, when you pray, pray, "Our Father which art in heaven." And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, whatsoever we ask the Father in His name, the name of Christ, God will do. If we ask in faith, believing, we must ask what God has promised to do. Remember that faith is simply believing that God will not lie, and that what God has promised, He will perform. So, let's be thankful. Let's praise God for it. Let's give all thanks to God Almighty the Father.